Thank you for listening to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now here's this week's message.
Get out your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Psalms chapter 129. You know, last October, I preached a message, or last October, after the vicious and inhumane attack that Hamas made against Israel on October the 7th, I preached a message that was titled, Israel in the News. And I made the statement concerning the media's support of Israel, and this is what I did. I went back and looked at my message and seen and read what I had said. I said, in the days to come, I believe we will witness the media jumping from one side, which is Israel's side, to the other, which is Hamas' side, with their opinions. Now, just 9 to almost 10 months out, we have surely witnessed this in the media that we watch today and what we're listening to. Not only the media, but also countries. They've had, events at the Olympics. They've had other countries that are literally just turning against Israel. Ours included. Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, and Darth Vader's generals all hate Israel. All hate Israel. Now, let's just say it like it is. I mean, we got to understand where we're at. And then we have college students that have protested Israel and the Jews, and it's like we flash back to the 60s now that the Jewish students don't even feel safe to go on campus. Where at? Is this in some third world country? No, it's in our country called America. Iran now is threatening an attack against Israel. They're saying in Iran, if you don't know anything about Iran, their statement is they want to totally annihilate the Jewish people to where they will be no more. Annihilation means that they want to totally do away with a certain race. That's what the news speaks of when they talk about Iran. Yet we have furnished them behind the scene, nuclear abilities and all these other things that are going on today. So Israel right now is preparing for a response to an Iranian attack. This is the world that we're living in right now, the world that we see, the world that we're listening to on the news. And believe me, if you're only getting your news from CBS and the mainstreams, you're not getting the whole news. The major players are choosing sides right now. Who will be with Israel and who will stand against Israel? That's what's happening. We're seeing militaries moving out into the Mediterranean and all this area around there. We're seeing them getting ready. It almost seems like we are on the verge of WW3. That it could happen at any moment, just the right button and the right person in charge of it. That we could be in World War III. Just because this little bitty dot on the globe. I got a globe in my office, and you know how we're all used to now when it comes to a picture, we want to go like this and blow it up a little bit so we can see the details. How many of you have done that in your family albums that you're saying, I wonder what that can go like that, and it's still just the old picture. You can't do it that too. But I'm going to tell you, even if you blow the globe up a little bit, it still takes you a little bit to get to the little dot that's causing so much trouble in the world today. Just a little bitty dot on this universe, just a little bitty dot. Can I tell you why that dot is so important? Because the enemy knows what's going to take place in that dot one day. And it's in that time that we see. See, Israel seems more and more alone. But are they really? It almost seems like they will be uprooted out of their land and be no more. But will this happen? I think the church needs to ask. I think the world needs, will this happen? Will they be alone? Psalms 121 verse 4 says this, "Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps." You parents, you moms especially, that have brought home a small child and you watch that child and you don't sleep well at night because you're concerned about the kid. Can I say today that Israel's got a heavenly father, one that is concerned very much about them, and he will never, ever forsake them. This nation, this dot upon this world that we live in. Pastor and commentator James Montgomery Boyce relates a story about Frederick the Great, the 18th century king of Persia. In a discussion with his chaplain about the truthfulness of the Bible, the unbelieving ruler challenged the minister to give him proof of the Bible in a single word. That's a challenge. And without hesitating, the chaplain answered, "Israel, Your Majesty, Israel." This morning, I want to spend some time looking at some things about Israel. Psalms 129, let's look at it. Verses 1 through 8, many a time they have afflicted me from my youth. Let Israel now say, many a time they have afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowed on my back. They made their furrows long. The Lord is righteous. He has cut in pieces the cords of the wicked. Let all those who hate Zion be put to shame and turn back. Let them be as the grass on the housetops, which wither before it grows up, with which the reapers do not fill his hand, nor he who binds sheaves his arms. Neither let those who pass by them, who, the wicked that are against Israel, let them not say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. What a powerful Psalms when it talks about Israel. It is talking about the apple of God's eye. And it's talking about not only Israel, but the Jewish people. And it says they have been afflicted since their youth. In other words, since they have been brought in as a nation, they have been afflicted, and the nation itself has been. But notice it says, they shall not be destroyed. This nation we call Israel. I have 2 points to make this morning about this passage of Scripture. The first one is this: Israel is there to stay. Israel is there to stay. Notice it says, many a time they have afflicted us from my youth. Let Israel say now, many a times they have afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. Hitler probably should have read that. Listen, if there's any people that have been truly afflicted, it has been the Jew and the nation Israel. When you get down, many times we whine about the things going on in our life, but really we don't have nothing compared to what Israel has been through, nor the Jewish people. Throughout the Jewish history, they have faced unbelievable oppression by other nations, yet they have never been completely destroyed, for the Lord has faithfully strengthened and delivered them every time. How many times? Every time God has showed up on the scene, when Israel looks like they're fixing to be totally destroyed, God shows up in an almighty way. Millions were killed in the Holocaust, yet they still survived. They've been scattered throughout this world because of their disobedience to God, but God still watched over them in every country they went to, and many would prosper. I'm saying, if you really want to look at the Bible and say, is the Bible true? I got the word for you. It is Israel. And what God has done with that nation. Listen, it makes you wonder a little bit about God and that nation. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Now, we've got t-shirts with that printed on it. We've got things you can hang around your neck with that printed on it. And that's fine. Scripture, all scripture is good. But can I tell you this morning, that was written to the nation Israel. That was written to Israel when Israel was fixing to go into Babylonian captivity. And they didn't know if they'd ever come back to their land. You know what God told them? I got a plan for your life. I got a plan for the apple of my eye. I've got a plan for this nation that everybody sees leaving their country. I've got a plan to prosper you. I've got a plan to take care of you. God has got a plan for Israel, my friend. And I'm going to tell you something. If God's got a plan for your life also, and His plan depends on you being obedient to Him, but He's got a plan for each one of us this morning. And it is for good. Sometimes we think God is not concerned, but I'm going to tell you, if God's got a plan for your life, He's going to help it come through. I read one time that He who began a work in you will complete it. How many of you know that takes planning? And God is able to do that in our life. Hallelujah. Praise God this morning. This scripture was given to encourage Israel as they were led away. He says, listen, don't think it's over yet. The takeaway here is that God has always had and always will have a plan for Israel. Always has and always will have a plan for that nation. He brought them in and gave them the land and called them Israel. This land that they have, He brought them in. It's not a question of who possesses or who's the land to. God brought them in that land, and He gave it to them, and we call it Israel. They do belong in that particular country, that particular geography, the land there. Listen, in Genesis 12:7, God's speaking to Abram, and He says, "Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your descendants I will give this land.'" What land? The land that they are on now. And believe me, they have not expanded to the full boundaries that God said is their land. But one day they will occupy every inch of it because God has given it to them. And there Abram built an altar to the Lord who had appeared. This scripture is in reference to Genesis chapter 15, 18. It was there that God made a covenant with Abram, and He gave him the boundaries, even listed the people He was evicting out of the land. God says, you are going to occupy it. And He even gave them a list of the people, the Ites. I didn't read that scripture because there were too many Ites in it. But I'm just saying today, He has literally said, we're evicting these people, and I am bringing you into this land. And He established the boundaries of the land. Who gave the land to Israel? God has given it to Israel. And all his descendants, Abram's. See, from that moment of the promise, the deed was written in heaven to the Jew in the land. Think about it. When you get your house paid off, your property paid off, you get what they call a deed. And it says, this is yours. This is your place. It's a wonderful thing to get a place paid off, and it's got your name on it, and you got the deed to the house. I'm going to tell you today that God has got the deed to the land that Israel's occupying, and God has registered it in heaven, and nobody else gets to come and get that deed. God says it will belong to the Jew, and you will not uproot them. It is my people that I have given it to. It is their land. It's not to be shared or divided by some government, but it is God's deed that says the Jew belongs in that land. And that's what we must understand today. It is and will always be their land. God has said it, so be it. Now, it's one thing that God gave it to them, They had to take the land. The book of Joshua, we find Israel under supernatural power, taking the promised land. The Jordan River parts as they get ready to go. God opens the door. The priests cross over on dry land. And all the people, it's a supernatural thing when God opened the door for the land of Israel. And this miracle would be the first of many for the Jewish people as they took the land that God has promised them. Can I tell you today, God, I heard it, God is still in the miracle working business. And God is still able. We don't have a country that can go in there and divide the Jordan River and make it dry and within just so many hours. God is still working supernatural things for Israel. And if man thinks he can go against God, man needs to think something different, because there's no way that a mighty being or a mighty country can go against an almighty God, because God is able to do unbelievable things. From that moment on, miracle after miracle took place for the Jewish people to possess the land and to evict those that were living in it, and God gave it to them. Even in years past, even in the 1900s, we find God worked supernatural things to keep Israel in it after they got there in 1948. Why do we think God has changed? Why is it that man thinks, hey, God's not watching, God's not paying attention? But let me tell you, he that keeps Israel never sleeps nor slumbers. God's watching what's happening right now in that nation. Not one time in the Bible do we see God relenting that there would be Israel's land. Also, it takes God's permission to remove the Jew out of the land. I want you to think about this just for a moment. It takes God's permission to remove the Jew out of the land. A couple examples. You can read, and there's four exiles, but really, one of those exiles ties in with the Babylonian exiles. Two of them do. So I'm just going to look at two this morning. The first thing is the Babylonian captivity. How many of God gave permission? And I think it's important. You know, I could leave my house in over here where I live, and I can leave it for 10 years, but I can still attain the deed to it. I can let other people live in it. We let Oliver and them live in it, for Oliver and Jeanette, his family, in our house for 4 or 5 years. And then we said, hey, we're coming back into the house. Y'all want to live with us, or what y'all want? No. We evicted them. No, just kidding. But we came back into the house. Guess what? At no time did it ever quit being my house. It was still my house. Oliver, he let me know it when he had a problem that it was still my house. Pastor, we got a plumbing issue. The whole time, just because Israel has left the land a time or two does not change the deed that God has made on it. Man will try to change it, but God has never changed who will be there. And the only time that they left the land is when they became a disobedient, unreverent people to God. And God says, I'm taking you into captivity, and I'm going to discipline you. I'm going to chastise you for 70 years. And the only reason the king Nebuchadnezzar could take them out of that land is because God said it would be. Now, I think it's important for us to understand that. They didn't get just ushered out because of the bigger country. God says, I'm ushering them out, and you're going to be the tool in my hand, and you better be nice in such ways, or I'll come back and get you. And so they went into 70 years of captivity. They ended up with three different countries, but they stayed out the whole 70 years, and that's when God penned the verse for them, hey, I have a plan for you, a plan to prosper you. That's when he penned that verse. Another time that we find is when the Romans came in AD 70. We find a people, And he speaks of this in 1 Kings 9, 7 through 9. Then he says, I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them, and this house which I have consecrated for my name's sake, I will cast out of my sight. Israel will be a proverb and a byword among them. Notice he does not say, I'll take the land away from them, but I'm going to cut Israel off from the land that I have given them. And he says, I will take them out. Why? Because, again, Israel became self-sufficient. And this is at the timing that they actually took the Messiah and crucified him on the cross and took our Savior. And I thank God they did it, right? But it was all in God's plan. Jesus, in Matthew 24, he looked at him and says, of this temple, because they were looking at the temple like it was something special, he says, there's coming a day that there won't be a stone that's not unturned in this temple. And what's happening here? We have another time for God's plan for Israel that God is going to allow somebody to take them out of their land. AD 70, Titus rolls up, the Roman Empire, and he comes and completely destroys Jerusalem and take all the Jewish people captive, and Israel is no more. But this does not relent the deed on the property, because the property still belonged to the Jewish people. But God says, I will cut you off. I will cut you off of that land. Didn't say he's going to take it away. But I will cut you off. And from AD 70, listen, from AD 70 to 1948, that's a lot of years. Some of you tell these young folks that you got born in the 1900s, and they kind of went, wow. But for 1900, or almost 1800 and something years, the Jewish people had been cut off from that land. Why? God had a plan. Did God relent on the deed? No, he didn't. Did God say, hey, you're never coming back? No, he says, I'm cutting you off. But it also says he will gather them back up. Did you know the Israel nation has been gathering Jews in for quite some time, since 1948? They'll take a young person like Zoe, and she's got Jewish blood in her. They'll pay her way back over there, establish her in school, and they will help her get going where she needs to be as a Jewish citizen. They have been gathering for quite some time. Why? Because now the Bible says when you see that nation of Israel, which is that palm tree, or olive tree, when it starts to, I'll get it right, when it starts to, the branches come, it says that generation shall not pass away until the coming of the Lord. I'm saying today we are seeing things happening that says Jesus is coming soon, but he brought them back into that nation for a reason. And I'm going to tell, the reason I'm telling you all this is because two times they have been evicted. Why? Because of their rebellion and disobedience to God, and God took them out of the land that he had gave them, but he has been bringing them back since 1948, and God has been doing some favorable things for them. He has acted supernaturally for them in many wars, and he will continue to do so. Because I want you to understand, there is no prophecy saying they will leave again. There's nothing in the scripture that says they will be evicted again. There's nothing that says, hey, they're going to be took out of their land again. The only thing that you'll find in Israel about Israel is that they will have to hide for 3.5 years at Petra while the Antichrist is hunting them down. But Petra is still in the land. There's no prophecy that says that they're going to leave. How many of you this morning have ever had a word of God that he gave you in the midst of your storm, and it encouraged you and strengthened you to where you says, God says he's bringing me through it, I'm going through it. God says he's on my side, I'm going to stay happy about it. God has spoke to me. The word of God says when a man's way pleases him, he will make his enemies be at peace with him. Have you ever found comfort with that? I'm just saying today that God's word brings comfort. Today I find comfort. Even though Iran is getting ready to try to blow Israel up, God will set them from heaven and go thump with whatever comes at them. Why? Because there's not a prophecy in the Word of God that says Israel will be removed from that land. They're there. They are there to stay. That land is important. See, in times past, God dealt with their rebellion by removing them. This time, He will deal with them in the land. What'd you just say, Pastor? I said, this time He's going to deal with their rebellion in the land. How many liked it when you was young and your parents dealt with your rebellion in the public place? Embarrassed you. Maybe in front of your peers or wherever it may be. This time God's going to deal with their rebellion in their own land. And they will ultimately receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their redemption, and the process will be made complete in Israel. Listen, this will not happen. This will not happen until the time of Jacob's sorrow, or better known as a 7-year tribulation, which will make complete the 490 years that Daniel has spoke of in the book of Daniel. Haven't got time to go into all that, but there's one set of 7 years lacking for the prophecy to be fulfilled. Everything else has been fulfilled from the book of Daniel when it comes to Israel. There's one little space here, and that space has been given in between. That's 483 years for the time of the Gentile. Who are the Gentiles? We're the Gentiles, that they may receive a great light. Oh, that none should perish, that all shall receive Jesus. Jesus loves the Gentiles too, and we're in that grace period. If you've got saved in this grace period, you have done exactly what God put this thing on hold for, that we may see the light. Oh, hallelujah, that we may see Jesus and have Him as our Lord and Savior today in that window. And then Paul even said, when that window's done, then it's time to deal with the Jewish people again. 7-year tribulation. It's about the Jews. It's not like God's angry with the world, but He's coming to deal with the Jewish nation. And if you know anything about the tribulation, there's this, whatever it may be, whoever it may be, will make a peace treaty with Israel for 3.5 years. In the midst of that 7 years, they will break that peace treaty. The Antichrist will set himself up as God in the new reconstructed temple. Can I say the temple is already setting on hold? If they ever get the place to build it, the Temple Mount, once again, they are ready. They have been practicing how to do sacrifices. I'm telling you real stuff this morning. And we go through day as if nothing's changed. I'm saying we are on a verge of Jesus coming back. We're on the verge of our Savior coming back for us because of what we're seeing happening today. And look at Israel. Get your eye on Israel and pay attention. They are ready. Things are chaotic, but God is getting things in order. They'll be hid that last 3.5 years. Because the Antichrist will try to take them. But guess who's got them hid out? Can I tell you, if God hides something, they can't find it. Come on. God hid your sin, the devil can't find it. He can't bring your sin and bring it in the throne room of God and say, here's their sin. No, because God hid it. Where? From far from the east is to the west. Come on, in the deepest of the seas. So here we are with Israel. They're going to be there. They are not leaving again. They are there to stay. Will it be interesting? Yes, it will be. But I'm just seeing everything starting. Did you know that in Israel, they're going to have a Jew that will reign for 1,000 years? Where? In that land. You know who he is? His name is Jesus. Where will the Jewish people be? They will be in the land when Jesus comes back as the lightning in the sky, as those that even pierce him will see him. He's coming back where? To the United States of America because we're so good? No, he's not. He's coming back to that little bitty dot on the planet Earth, and he's going to put one foot on the side of the Mount Olive and the other one. The Bible says they're going to split down the middle. How many know there's an earthquake fault line already in that mountain? And he's going to set his kingdom up. He's going to come through that eastern gate, hallelujah, that the Muslims have all boarded up, cemented up, and put a cemetery in front of it. He doesn't bother him. He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, hallelujah. He's coming, my friend. Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. He's coming through. Where? To Russia? No. To China? They got such a booming economy. They make all our stuff? No. He's coming to this little dot that many of those countries I've mentioned are wanting to annihilate. I'm telling you today, Israel's there to stay. Because the Bible says when he comes in the sky like that, all of Israel, what does that mean? Those that are there are going to see him and they're going to profess him as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And they're going to see his nail-scarred hands. And they're going to reflect on the fact, my word, those Christians told us about this a long time ago. And now we see him coming, the King of Kings. And oh, who's that with him? Oh, that's the church of the living God, all robed up in white clothing and linen. And we are riding with him. What for? Not as a baby Jesus coming, but as a conquering king. Hallelujah. And his kingdom will be set up for 1,000 years. And the first thing happens, he takes that old devil, that slew foot, and he wraps him up. One angel takes him. Just one. You'd think it'd take an army of angels. One angel takes that old snake and throws him in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And guess how long he's got to stay there? 1,000 years. You know why? Because it is written. Israel's there to stay. And it doesn't matter how many weapons we send to Iran. It doesn't matter if Iran gets nuclear bombs. It doesn't matter if everybody tries to blow that dot off the face of the earth. There's somebody that never sleeps nor slumbers. And his name is God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Oh, my word. Hallelujah. See, the stage is being set. The players are gathering. All eyes are on Israel. The world is a mess. We got disasters right and left, fires and all unbelievable things, plagues that are taking place. The spirit of the Antichrist is definitely increased, and evil abounds almost on every corner in every government. Prophecy of these times are being fulfilled day in and day out, my friend. The church in America is sleeping nice and cozy on our mattresses stuffed with the blessed life. But I got news. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And it's time to wake up, church, because we have an assignment that Tanya mentioned. Second point. Beware of where you stand concerning Israel. Beware of where you stand concerning the apple of God's eye. Psalms 129, 4 through 8. The Lord is righteous. He has cut in pieces the cords of the wicked. Who? Those that have afflicted and tried to destroy Israel. Let all those who hate Zion be put to shame and turned back. Let them be like the grass on the housetop. And literally, it is for nothing because it will perish and die. It's not good for harvest, not good for seed, because there's nothing there. And he says, don't even let it be a sheaf of grass that they can harvest off. In other words, it says, let you raise up and die and dwindle away. Be of no value of those that come. And do not think that God's people are going to go by and say, bless you. not in the Texas way. Now, we may do it that way. Bless your little heart. In other words, those that are against Israel will not prosper. Can I say this morning quickly, as America has been blessed for two reasons. Our faith and loyalty to the one true God. Over the years, our blessing has came from above. Our faith and loyalty to the one true God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The creator of all things. We have been faithful to Him. But let me tell you, there's been the melting pot effect has affected our loyalty to our God. Our loyalty as a country now has been polluted. It's no longer to one God. It's to several gods. And whatever God you want to make up. My friend, we are no longer blessed because we have compromised what has brought our blessing all these years, and it's God. One God. And we're starting to experience the effect of that in our land. We're starting to see fires, unbelievable fires, and not only in the Texas panhandle, but throughout. Weather that is devastating. It's not global warming, but it's lukewarm hearts of America today that have caused the judgment of God to come down upon us because we have turned away from the one true God. It has brought blessings all these years. We're kind of in the refrigerator effect. You let a refrigerator stay plugged in, put your stuff in there, and it's going to stay cool. But the moment you unplug that thing, it starts to warm up. It may not do it immediately, but eventually your food spoils because it has no longer plugged in. My friend, we are in a spoiling stage in America because we have turned our back on the one true God. And it's not just the non-Christians, but it's some that really call themselves churchgoers that no longer want anything but a blessing from God and not the obedience unto Him. I was visiting with a guy the other Friday night. And through the conversation, he told me he was looking for a wife. And he's about the same age as so-and-so daughter I have. So it cost me five if I mention her name. So I started doing a kind of a roundabout interview. He'd been through Teen Challenge and different things, but and he was telling me some things about how great his new business is doing and all this about money. And I interrupted him. I said, how about your devotion life? Well, that's kind of went to the side since I've been a little busy. And I said, okay. Well, I quit interviewing after that. Because, see, it's God's relationships way more important than money in this world. I'm just saying that's almost like America today as we talk about all our blessings. But where are we with God? Where's our relationship with Him today? We've got a work to do in a short time to get it done. And that is to win everybody we can for Jesus. The other reason we're blessed is our support to Israel. We have been their allies for years. But now this administration that we have is two-faced when it comes to Israel. They'll say something in public, but in the backside, they are doing things that are ungodly to the apple of God's eye. Some of you caught me when I said that it was Darf's generals. Genesis 12:3 says this, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's talking about the Jewish people and the Jewish nation. My friend, I'm going to tell you today that we need to stay on the side of Israel. We made a deal to sell Israel $20 billion worth of weapons to Israel. But the major delivery will not take place until 2029. Hey, that's a little late for what they're going through. Oh, they can get something in 2026, a little bit of stuff, but that's 2 years down the road. How many know they need help now? Why are we not giving them help now? Because we no longer back them in some areas. And you trying to be political, Pastor? No, I'm not. But can I remind everybody today that the verse that we quote often, and I think America needs to get a hold of it also, and everybody that comes against Israel, Isaiah 54:17 says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment shall you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and their righteousness from me, says the Lord." Who is the Lord? God Almighty. If everybody forsakes Israel, I'm talking as nations. I know we as a church are not going to. We have the flag flying in our sanctuary. I know we're not going to forsake Israel. But if our nation turns their back on Israel, can I tell you, every nation can turn their back on them, but they will not prosper. Not a weapon they have will prosper, because God, the one that showed up in the Egyptians, the face that literally rattled them, is still alive and well today, and His arm is not shortened. He is still God yesterday, today, and forever. He is God. Israel will be protected, and the will of God will be fulfilled in their lives. May I say this morning, America is living on the edge of being cursed. Let me say it again. America is living on the edge of being cursed. All these college kids that are sitting here, the ignorance that's going on our campuses, they have no idea what God says is going to happen to their life. Well, oh, you let Harry Potter or somebody like that talk a little bit. Oh, we don't want to do that. That'll bring a curse. But what if we understood what the Bible says? What if every one of those college kids understood that when you curse the Jew and when you curse the Israel, God's curse is coming up on your life? Oh, Pastor, would God do that? He says that in His Word, He will. It's serious on where we stand, whether we are a country or whether individuals. I don't know why the Christians got mad at the Jews when our Savior is a Jew. I have never figured that one out, but there's a lot of things on this earth I don't know about. These college kids have built tents and protest, wanting a Palestinian nation and splitting the land that God has deeded. They have burned the American flag and Israel flag together, and Jewish students are fearful to go. I'm going to tell you, where are they standing at? They're standing on the side of stupidity. Ignorance sometimes, ignorance is not a bad word, it just says you haven't been educated in that matter. I'm ignorant in a lot of things. You all notice in the last 16 years I'm a little ignorant in English. Have a little Texan accent and also words. But let me tell you, I don't want to be ignorant on God's word when it comes to God's things. Are we ignorant in some of the places in our administration? No, we know exactly what we're doing in this country. And may God, listen, may God bring the curse that has been called for upon each and every individual that are doing it out of knowing what they are doing. So be it. Amen. I believe a lot of the college students, they just doing whatever they think everybody else is doing. But every nation and every person that stands against Israel is cursed. Very simple. Stand with them and be blessed. Stand against them and be cursed. Israel in the news. I'm going to end with this verse. Luke 21:28. Can I say that we are living in exciting times? Amen? Very exciting times. We see things that just turn our stomachs. We see a lot of things happening, but also we see things coming down from God, miracles. We see people still getting saved. We see a lot of things happening. I mean, you know, the Bible says of His kingdom, it shall never quit. It will always increase. And somehow we lock on this, that the spirit of the Antichrist will always increase. Can I remind you that the kingdom of God is increasing every day, every moment, every second, because somebody just got saved. So what I do, I remember what God says about Israel. I pray for Israel. We pray for Israel in this church. But I'm also reminded in Luke 21:28, now when these things begin to happen, the Bible says, look up. Lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Lift up your heads. You know, I can get down when things don't go right, and my head will be like that, and someone spiritual can come up and says, what's wrong with you? It's quite obvious. My head's down. I'm not feeling good. I don't know if that's too spiritual of the discernment. But let me tell you, some of us are walking around with our heads down spiritually because what we see on the TVs, we see the battles, we see things rounding up around Israel. But may I say today, lift up your head. Lift up your head. When we hear the awful things happening, lift up your head. Come on, we're living in a time, we're living in a very prophetic time that's being fulfilled every day. When you turn on that TV, when you listen to see what's going on in our school systems, when you see what our nation is doing, we're seeing prophecy being fulfilled. Is it bad? Yes, some of it is. But why don't we get on the other side of it and start winning people to Jesus? But can I say, regardless, lift up your head, because your redemption's drawing nigh. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to encourage you, Israel in the news, watch them. You know, I can watch TV and a lot of the stupid commercials come on and guys kissing guys and women kissing women and this medication, that medication. I mute it. I wish I had a button that would just black it out so I don't have to listen to it. But some things we need to pay attention to. Why? So we can pray. We can pray. We need to pay attention to what's going on in our world so we can pray. And also we can rejoice because our redemption is drawing nigh.